And welcome back, everyone. Time to talk about electronic navigation in the sense of localizers and marker beacons. Basically, how does a localizer work? Well, localizer is just like a VOR. However, instead of different radials, it is simply transmitting one long straight line and telling whether you are left or right of that line. It does not matter what the OBS knob is set to when you have a localizer frequency programmed into your nav radio, same place you would normally put your VOR frequency. So say the localizer frequency is 111.3, doesn't matter if it's a VOR frequency or a localizer frequency, just simply put the localizer frequency in there in your nav radio, and it does not matter what the OBS knob is set to, don't have to set to the inbound chorus or anything like that, it's going to work automatically. The CDI needle will tell you whether you are left or right of the localizer. Now, there are several parts that make up the ILS, or the instrument landing system, and the localizer is just one of those parts. So before we get too ahead of ourselves here, let's talk about the other parts here. So the localizer for a runway is generally always going to be located at the far end of the runway you're landing on. So as shown in the diagram below, if you're landing from right to left, the localizer antenna or array is, if you were to overrun your landing runway, you would eventually run into the localizer antenna. So it's at the far end of the runway you're landing on. The localizer works by simply transmitting two signals, one at 150 hertz and the other at 90 hertz. The receiver in your airplane just tells you which signal is stronger. So the CDI is telling you whether you're left or right or chorus just by telling you, hey, I'm getting more 150 or more 90. And if I'm getting more 90, well, you're probably a little to the left or right or whatever it is. So the receiver in your airplane is just looking at those two individual signals. Think of it as your nav radio listens to that localizer frequency you just tuned in and just listens to see which signal it hears louder. Whichever signal is loudest means whether you are left or right. And if you're perfectly on course in the center, the signal strengths should be perfectly equal, then your CDI needle would be centered. Now we can look at this diagram here below to really kind of help us understand what all is going on there with the ILS, with the instrument landing system and all the different parts and pieces. Very helpful little diagram there, but we'll skip along down below there. You guys can take a look at that when you have time. What we want to talk about now is that the chorus width and degrees of the localizer varies, but it's usually somewhere around 5 degrees width in total. So going full scale left would be 2.5 degrees to the left, full scale right, 2.5 degrees to the right. It can vary, but generally around 5 degrees. The chorus width in degrees is always adjusted so that going full scale deflection all the way from left to right on the CDI would equal 700 feet or 350 feet left or right of centerline when the aircraft is crossing the runway threshold. So if you are just riding the very edge, if you're pretty much full scale deflection and you're crossing the runway threshold, you should be 350 feet left or right of center line. So that's how they ultimately adjust it. And you can say, well, why wouldn't it just always be 5 degrees? Well, obviously runway lengths are different. So the longer the runway, the further away the localizer antenna is, the narrower the signal is gonna have to be. The shorter the runway, the wider it can be. Now, extreme caution must be used when approaching an airport and are outside of the receiving cone for the localizer or glide slope. So if you're not inside that receiving cone of where you can actually get the actual signal, then you need to be really careful, because when you are approaching an airport, especially in hilly or mountainous terrain, it's common to receive false glide slopes and false localizers. Basically, if you're outside of this cone that within 10 nautical miles of the airport is 35 degrees left or right of centerline, or within 18 miles of the airport is 10 degrees left or right of centerline, if you're outside that cone, you could easily pick up a false localizer and it could actually show you on course, but you could be 15 degrees off course or 15 degrees to the left or right of centerline. So, and anytime you're more than 18 miles from the runway, that's the standard service volume of a localizer. Some will work further out than that, especially at bigger airports like JFK and all that. But anytime you're more than 18 nautical miles, that's outside the normal service volume. So if you're outside those normal service volumes as shown in the diagram below, then you need to use extreme caution, especially in hilly or mountainous terrain. False glide slopes, false localizers are a real thing, and you can think you're on course, your needle will be centered, and you are anything but. And that's why it's really nice to back these up with a second form of navigation, like marker beacons, or even better, like GPS. So you always must stay alert to the position of the aircraft and have enough situational awareness to know if you are in fact receiving the correct signal, or if you're so far right or left of course or high or low that you're actually receiving a reflection of a signal and possibly navigating towards an unprotected area of the approach. The best way to combat this is to back up an ILS or localizer approach with some sort of other aid, like an iPad or a panel-mounted GPS unit. Also, flying more of a straightened approach and starting from an initial approach fix will decrease the likelihood of this happening compared to getting vectors to final. Now, that's it for the ILS system, or really the localizer and glide slope part. Next, I want to talk about the marker beacons. So for marker beacons, it's also part of the ILS, or it can be. Marker beacons are another part of the ILS, really. They are not installed at every airport or in every ILS approach, but where they are installed, they are denoted as the I-shaped ovals along the final approach course, as shown on the right here. So in this diagram to the right, you can see those kind of eyeball-shaped or lens-shaped symbols there that denote marker beacons. And marker beacons come in three flavors, ultimately. Outer beacons, middle beacons, and inner beacons. So outer, middle, inner. And when it's combined with an NDB, or when you have a marker beacon that's combined up with an NDB, the marker beacon becomes a compass locator. So you can look at an approach plate and say, hey, I've got marker beacons. And somebody can say, no, you're wrong, you don't. You actually have a compass locator. So an outer marker is always going to become a locator outer marker when it is combined with an NDB, or another way to refer to that would be a compass locator. And so we can see on the chart here on the right that we have an LOM, a locator outer marker, with a frequency of 368. Marker beacons are ground-based stations that transmit up in a fan or a cone shape that at 1,000 feet AGL, it's about 2,400 feet wide and about 4,200 feet long. So it's kind of that fan or cone shape being transmitted up, and like we just said, 2,400 feet wide, 4,200 feet long at 1,000 feet AGL. The power, not that you really need to know this, is 3 watts at 75 megahertz. We'll talk more at the end here about what you really need to know from all of this. The purpose of the marker beacons are to give you an idea of where you are on the approach. So with an airplane without any sort of GPS or DME, the outer marker lets you know you're crossing the final approach fix, generally 4 to 7 miles from the runway. And if you're crossing the final approach fix, you can generally identify from the approach plate how high you should be, check that without your altimeter, and see if everything jibes really well. And then that kind of reinforces where you are physically on the approach, what your distance remaining to the runway actually is. The outer marker, if it's installed on the ILS, is also situated so that one dot deflection on your CDI needle would indicate that you are 300 feet off course from the center line when you're flying over that outer marker with one dot deflection on your CDI needle. The middle marker is much closer to the runway, not halfway between the outer marker and the runway by any means, actually. So it's a little bit of a kind of misnomer there, but the middle marker is not in the middle. And being over the middle marker and having one dot deflection off course on the CDI means you are 100 feet off center line. So the middle marker is actually much closer to the runway threshold. It's generally about 3,500 feet from the runway threshold, just over half a mile away. And that means if you're on glide slope when you're crossing the middle marker, you should be about 200 feet above touchdown zone elevation, which is generally near the minimums for an ILS approach. Typically, the bare minimums for an ILS approach are 200 feet and a half a mile visibility. So 200 feet above touchdown elevation is typically the minimums that you're supposed to break out at, or at least have the runway in sight by to continue. And that is why the middle marker is located there. It's kind of a reminder saying, hey, if you hear this middle marker tone and you don't see the runway, probably a good idea to go around at this point. Now, all marker beacons give off an aural tone when you're flying directly over them and generally light up something in the cockpit, either an annunciation on a glass panel or generally flashing lights on the audio panel, as shown in that diagram there below. You can see the outer, middle, and inner OMI marker beacons lighting up there. The outer marker has a slower beep to it, a slower tone, 2 dashes per second, just kind of a doop-doop, with the middle marker being a faster beep or a tone, about 95 dash dot combinations per minute. So just a slightly faster pace than the outer marker. And then the inner marker gives off a very fast tone. So the inner marker is located typically where you would be about 100 feet above touchdown zone elevation if you were perfectly on glide slope. So very close to the runway. And inner markers are used in Cat 2 ILS approaches. Not anything you're going to be doing in your Cessna. So you don't have to worry too much about it. Just realize if you're flying down ILS and you hear do, 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 and then do, 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 and then do, 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 you're probably just getting really close to the runway. The airplane's not about to fall apart. It's all okay. You generally have to turn on the ability to hear the marker beacons in your headset the same way you would select to monitor another radio or Morse code identifier on a VOR. If you happen to leave the switch or a button selected to listen to these, and you're taking up a passenger on a nice VFR flight, they may get a little nervous that as you get closer to the runway on landing, they hear a faster and faster beep in their headset. So it might just be a good idea to give them a heads up or mute the marker beacons. And yes, I know this one from experience from actually scaring a passenger. Just something that never really bothered me as I was coming into land, thought it was kind of neat. And to other people that don't know what it is, it can be a little scary. So for the TLDR here, what you really need to know is three flavors of marker beacons: outer, middle, and inner. The outer is pretty far out there. It's by the final approach fix. The middle is not in the middle of the approach. It's actually where you would be if you were perfectly on glide slope and 200 feet above touchdown zone elevation. The inner marker, much closer to the runway. It's where you would be if you were on glide slope and you're at 100 feet above touchdown zone elevation. Middle marker, about 3,500 feet from the runway. Inner marker, oh, you're getting within 1,000 feet or so from the runway. And of course, the outer marker has a slower tone, middle marker a little bit faster, and inner marker, very fast tone. Be very cautious when you're approaching an airport to use an ILS, use a localizer and glide slope, especially if you're in mountainous terrain. If you're outside of that service volume there that we have in this diagram here, if you're more than 10 miles away, or if you're within 10 miles away and more than 35 degrees off centerline, or if you are more than 10 miles away, less than 18 miles away in that area, and you're more than 10 degrees off centerline, then you're outside the service volume of that localizer. You can get false localizers and false glide slopes. That gets really exciting really fast. Ultimately, the width of a localizer is determined to make sure that you, when you're crossing the runway threshold, full-scale deflection would be 350 feet left or right of centerline. So when you see full-scale deflection on your CDI, you would be 350 feet to the left or right of centerline if you were seeing that. That's how they determine the width, typically around 5 degrees wide total. If you guys want any more information on this, the diagrams are in this topic for your convenience to review. And we will see you guys into the next lesson, how the system works, the National Airspace System, under IFR.